Welcome to the Front Row Back Row podcast presented by PhysioGrowth. We're your hosts, Brian, who scaled a PT practice from the trunk of his car to six locations, and Owen, who helped lead an eight-figure exit and now runs a cash-based PT practice. This show is real conversations from owners actively building with what's working right now. All right, and we are in for part two of our hiring four-part series. And today we are talking about finding those physical therapists. So you listened to our podcast last week about, am I ready? When do I need to hire? Is my business healthy enough to bring on a person? All that good stuff. So if you missed it, go back and listen to that before this one. Now, we're going to be talking about finding actual therapists. And I honestly think this is going to have the most comments because this is the most frustrated I think I see people, business owners on LinkedIn, just your average owner in our mentorship group where it's like, I can't find a warm body, let alone a good therapist. So I'm interested to kind of see, you know, how you've done it with your six clinics. I'll share a little of my wisdom of hiring over 100 PTs. And hopefully this can help anybody listening who's in that boat of, oh God, how do I get somebody good? So Brian, I'd love to hear, you know, one of the things that we like to start off with is kind of talking about marketing and hiring as a same thing. And you've been doing some cool stuff where it's almost like you've been hiring and marketing your company at the same time through ads. So you don't have to go right into that, but let's talk about the hiring funnel. How do you start to kind of gather people into your evolution ecosystem? Because you have a brand, you're well known now, as opposed to me where, you know, I just started my cash practice. I might not have some of those advantages.
Yeah. Well, I think what's important in general for everybody who's listening to this that's key is the funnel is the exact same thing as getting patients, right? So the reality is there's going to be certain things that you can go all in on, whether it's social media, whether it's, you know, networking, asking your community, talking to different, you know, other referral partners around, you know, your area, you know, getting students in clinical rotations, working with universities, you know, talking with you know, former employees and seeing if they can help you. Those are all really good types of places where you should be doing that kind of stuff. You know, and again, some things are sexier than others. You know, I have found when it comes to online, I think the biggest thing that I would say for most people in a mindset, particularly when you want to hire somebody, is always be hiring. The biggest thing I would tell someone is always be hiring, because the reality of it is there is a scenario where, say for instance, we got very busy in the spring, and we need people like immediately. There'll be 6 months from now where a perfect candidate might drop in your lap and you might be like, you know, do I need the person? I'm not sure. Think about that really busy time. Work out your numbers. Understand where you can, you know, compensate and potentially bring somebody on. And then pull the trigger. It's one of those things where I think it's a very important thing not to hesitate. So to me, like, yeah, I would tell anybody who's just starting to ask their patients, ask, you know, former employees they know, networks, like that's going to be where you can find your first hire. I think also as a smaller business, it's hard to take on more students, but now we're taking on as many students as we possibly can, because that, you know, ultimately what's great about taking on students, you get to train them, you know, on the job before they actually come on the job with you. Hopefully you can hire them. And two is you can, if you have like 10, 12 students a year and you really want to make like three or four hires or five hires, wherever you want to make them, you also have extended interviews. You can figure out who you like and who you don't, right? Like there's a girl that we have right now that I'm like, I would hire her in a heartbeat. She's awesome. So we're going to go through that process. And then how's this? Just schedule the fucking interview. Like that's a big one too, because a lot of people will just kind of like dick around and be like, yeah, they'd be really nice, I'm not sure. Like just say, hey, do you want to work here at some point? Would this be something interesting? Yeah. Cool. We can sit down and have an interview. Like just be transparent. Cause I think a lot of PT owners are like, well, I'm not sure, I'm not positive. Like again, I think being direct, and when you find those people, that's huge. Like don't mess around, guys. Like you find somebody you like. Like it's you know, the equivalent's like if I liked my wife and I saw her across the bar of the bar and I go to you and I go, wow, she's kind of cute. I don't know. Right. Go up and talk to her. Like, that's the idea. Like the same thing here. Like for those listening, if you've got a PT you like, go up and talk to them. Don't just like think about it. And be, wow, they may be a great fit. Like go tell them they're a good fit.
Well, and that's interesting too, because I remember here in the Phoenix market, there was a time when it was not as pressured to get a PT. The demand was not as high. The baby boomers were not aging as hard as they are now, right? The supply of PTs was higher, right? And it was kind of a, don't poach my people. Right, was every owner was kind of like, ooh, I don't know if I should poach, right? And now, honestly, you have to. And I think that setting up a system is an important side with that. And you could have systems at Brian's level where he'll have ads running and a funnel and an email sequence and all these different kind of more developed more mature systems for bringing in people, maybe even running LinkedIn ads or having systems of posting to kind of, grab more attention, more eyeballs. But I mean, even when you're starting out, if I'm making my first hire, there's systems you can have in place that maybe aren't as refined. So set a reminder on your calendar every week to, first of all, I would say get LinkedIn Premium because that allows you to search, physical therapist Phoenix, right? And say once a week, I'm going to DM five PTs and I'm just going to say, hey, I saw you posted about this. I love that stuff too. Great to connect. And that is a system that you can have that's not high money. I mean, I think it's like $40 a month or $50 a month. And it can lay that groundwork of that warm lead. And I think that, for earlier stage hirers, you have to constantly be asking, hey, maybe I don't need one today, but I might in 6 months. Keep me in mind if you hear somebody. You're talking to athletic trainers, you're talking to physicians, you're talking to your mom's friend at a barbecue. So it's important to know that those systems are important, but they may look different at different stages.
Yeah, totally. And I mean, I think the thing that you're talking about from that perspective is exactly right. Like, especially if you're looking to get lots of different people and acknowledging that this is an ever-changing job market is absolutely correct. But I do think that the way that we're attracting PTs is different than ever, right? So because there's different options. So to
So
me,
tell
the
me about what's worked for you, because it's interesting. On one of
yeah.
our mentorship calls, by the way, if you want to be in our mentorship group and listen to us break down your business, tell us what's working, tell you what's working in our business today, you can go to physio-growth.com. It's in the show notes. But tell us, you were on one of those mentorship calls and you were saying how you were running ads and they were getting you not only leads, but also
Yeah.
for your business patients, but they were also, you were running hiring ads.
Yeah.
Right.
Well, I think the key here is not everybody's gonna be able to do this at the scale. So when someone's like, hey, I'm not sure if I think we deal with a lot of people that need to hire physical therapists. Like, I'm not sure, should I hire? Do I need to hire this person? Do I do a part-time thing? Do I do a full-time thing? For me, I'm like, I need to hire three people like now. You know what I mean? For multiple locations. And that's just on one coast. Like, I literally, we joked, we had a LinkedIn post where, me and Devin jumped in and we were talking about recruiters and bad mouthing recruiters. And I was like, it's never been easier to get a job as a physical therapist. And literally, the recruiter was like kind of shot back, being like, well, you're talking smack on recruiters, but like, you don't know them all. And I was like, give me five good candidates now. I'll hire them all right now. All of them. Here's your, I guess what? I got crickets, guys. Right? So like, my point being on this is I think that there's an aspect of what you have to do is you also have to be doing things that attract physical therapists to you and your brand. So you got to be thinking about that all the time because therapists want to work in a place that they want to work at. Number one. Number two is it's a way to, you got to figure out because for social media, yes, social media works really well. There's a way to do it and to get people in droves. And yes, I figured it out and how it works. You can use stuff like LinkedIn and poach, mostly just reaching out and networking, right? I mean, and then also doing all sorts of different stuff, whether it's teaching in schools and whatnot. But social media gives a physical therapist the ability to look inward into your practice and see what the culture is about and what they're trying to do and how they're trying to build it, right? And that's the cool part about how this all works. So.
Well, the cool thing is you highlighted your clinic, right? Your sports clinic, sports-based clinic. So there's a lot of visuals there. You can, obviously the typical jumping on boxes, lifting heavy weights, all
Yeah.
that. And that was sent out, I'm sure you probably had some kind of descriptors and, targeting towards physical therapists, but it's also, that's a great way for a patient to look at it and say, oh man, if the PTs love working here, then hell yeah, that's probably a great place I want to be. The vibe of a clinic is
Totally.
something that's kind of nebulous, but it's, you can display that both ways. And even if you don't have a huge ad budget or you're just not ready for spending on Meta ads right now, maybe your first hire or something, even looking at it through your organic posts and saying, hey, tell five of your friends to share this, and it'll get some level of eyeballs. Now you can't, putting money on it will add gas to the fire. Like Brian said, he's got two or three that he has to fill today with massive volume waiting for him. But I would really, we always say when you're 50% busy or your next therapist is 50% busy is when you really should be front of mind thinking about hiring, right? Because almost never do you hire a therapist and like they're immediate, unless you have like really pent up demand, almost never do they naturally grow their caseload to 100% in like 3 weeks, right? So you should be always be hiring, always have that like ABH mentality, right? But it can be done on a cheaper level, it can be done on an expensive level, but it just has to be consistent. You have to work to get that.
Totally. Well, I think you just used a really good word. Like, I consistency is the key with any of this stuff, right? I think going through each one of these different, like, me and Owen obviously have physio growth and we teach people how to do this stuff, but the reality of what it is like we're going to show you the things that have worked for us really, really well, and we've identified a lot of stuff. Can if people are just consistent over time, they'll find physical therapists that they can hire, right? We just can be an accelerant to that process and help fix that a little bit faster. Along with the aspect of we can also teach people how they can actually like make sure they're ready for those hires, which is kind of what we're getting at here. But to me, I think a big piece is just being consistent. And if you had to ask me, Owen, like, what would I do? It depends on my practice that I have, but I would be very consistent with one vehicle and try and make sure it matches exactly what I think works the best for my patients and my clients as well. Because then I'm hitting two birds with one stone, along with the idea of I'm actually going to be able to really dive in and put my all into one recruiting funnel, right? That's the big key.
Well, and think of the Indeed ad, right? Now, I mean, people put out Indeed ads and, they get clients. So I'm not saying it never works. But you are almost always marketing to a therapist who already has a job or already has multiple job offers, right? Students are coming out with multiple job offers and negotiating for damn near six figures right now in some markets, right? So you have to say, okay, I don't know if someone's just going to be praying for an opening. Right, which an Indeed ad would really go on. You really do have to do organic. You have to reach out. You have to kind of say, okay, either pay for an ad to be in their face, or you do it yourself. You get on your phone and you start texting people. This is where like community groups are good. This is where if you have a niche, right? I have a golf niche where if you can come in and say, I'm doing a sponsorship or I'm part of a, foundation that supports golf in the community. You may never know, man. The chairman might be like, oh, my daughter's like trying to find a job. And wait, you do golf, and that differentiates you, right? So now let's say we have a candidate, and it's at the right time. Because sometimes, we'll get a great candidate and, hey, I'm always in a hiring mode, but I can't support you right now, right? Say we have this great candidate. First off, let's just knock that out because it's a rare situation, but it has come up in our group of like you got a great candidate, but you're not ready, right? So what do you do about that first? And then we can go in the actual process of like how do you intake a candidate when you're ready and hopefully hiring soon.
Yeah, I mean, I think the biggest thing that I would say, and again, like I wrote a blog post on this the other day about like the certain KPIs that people should be tracking. And then Owen saw the other than post I wrote on this afterwards, reacting to somebody who put some dumbassness on my LinkedIn post. But I think for better or worse. But the reality of it is when you look at when you have a really good hire, the other thing is not to rush them in if you're not ready. Like if you're Owen talks about this all the time in our groups. He's like, if you, what's your wait list look like? And you may not be like, that word may be triggering to some people, like, oh, wait list. Oh, awesome. So I'm that busy. Yeah, man, you're going to pay somebody and they're going to like have to trust you that you can pay them. So if you're a brand new business and like, even if you're somebody like me, I can't just hire 20 physical therapists and I have enough patients for them. Right. So like, that's the problem. You have to also make sure you're constantly balancing this. I have enough patients for this physical therapist and whatnot. So it's constantly getting more patients and getting more physical therapists. That's the key. So, if I have this really good physical therapist, but I'm not ready, the key is first understanding you're not ready. That's going to come down to making sure you have the right KPIs in place and making sure that you're actually paying attention to what those numbers are. Some quickies that I would have people pay attention to, like how many patients you have going through the door, like how many patients are you seeing? What's the productivity around that, right? Like again, if your model is I'm going to treat patients every hour to every 15 minutes or blah, blah, whatever that is, you can do the math on that and back it off. And again, we also help people do these and set these spreadsheets up, by the way. Number two, if I look at this, like somebody put there on there, like opening up their own location, they were like, well, you should really be able to step away from the business if you're going to do that. That's just not true. Like for most people, like ask yourself, if you're a physical therapist listens to this right now, be real with yourself. If I said to you, hey, you got the perfect candidate, can you hire him? And you're like, I'm not sure. That means you're not busy enough. Like right off the bat, right? Like if you're, and then if you're like, I can hire them, like that's one of the things that we tell people is then make sure then you turn around and you start working a little bit harder and start seeing more patients that you could hand them off to somebody, right?
So how do you then handle, let's say you're not ready, right? And this person's awesome, right? I almost feel like that's where you have to be okay with the fact that, if you love them, set them free, right?
Yeah,
Keep a
for sure.
good impression, keep contact open. Do not treat it like someone who just dumped you. Right. Just say like, hey, it's not ready. You are awesome. I would love to have you on the team. Are you available in 6 months? No, I need a job now. Okay. Well, if they're reaching out to you and they're going down that path, they think that they can really fit into you. So just keep that, set reminders in your phone, set something up as a workflow that you will constantly kind of keep checking in with them. Because good Lord, you have no idea what's going to happen. Right. They could
Yeah.
find the job of their dreams in a week, or they could hate it. Right. And they're dying to come to you, right? So that's one way. And then now let's walk into, okay, we got a good candidate. We need someone in the next few weeks. What do we start with, right? So is it, I in corporate world, everyone gets a phone screen, right? Because they do the Indeed ads, and then that just basically funnels into an email that says someone from our office will call and then a HR assistant will call you just to make sure you're not psychotic. Right. But like, what then, once they've passed the they're not psychotic, like what's the process of that you guys use either
For
at
interviewing?
Evolution, and then I can go into what we did.
For interviewing, you mean, or for more so the aspect of making sure they're not a psycho? I love that. That's hilarious.
No, the psycho thing, you kind of have to, it's more what we would always say is like, is this person safe to come into our clinic? Like, AKA, are they real? And if we have a patient there and they see this person, is that patient going to cancel? Right. So like, it's more of a vibe thing, but yeah, you phone interview, and you also kind of, again, in that we would always say like, are you trying to start soon? What are, maybe we wouldn't say salary expectations, but we'd say, what's your experience like? Why do you want to apply? Some of those like really basic application questions, but see how they interact. It was mostly figuring out, are they someone you could have a conversation with, or are they like a back office analytics engineer that you're like, dude, this guy, no chance. He's going to be in
Dude,
front of you.
we have this one woman. Hopefully she's not listening to us. But she was like she we interviewed her twice and we needed a physical therapist bad, right? And we were like we're just listening to her and we interviewed her three times and all of us were like, yeah, like we think she'd be okay. And by the end we all were like, no, we can't hire this person, right? So like it to your point, a lot of it comes down, I think one process is don't be afraid of multi-step hiring, right? So
I agree.
like setting up multiple interviews. One of the things that we wrote down here is a walkthrough phone screen, culture interview, clinical interview, shadow, right then to an offer. There's pros and cons to both. We've had people that we just had an in-person offer that or in-person interview that the guy was like, "This is where I want to be, guys. I want to work here." And we're like, "Cool." And we shot him an offer that day, didn't wait a single second. We'd have other ones that took us 6 months to get him in the clinic, to your point. And we've had other people absolutely 100% of the time where we've had, well, I should say 100% of the time, but we've had several candidates where they've interviewed with us and then several years later circled back because their life changed and now they're coming back to be with us, right?
Well, and that's the thing that I think is important in a buyer's market, right? Or a PT employee market, I guess, to a level, right? They can't command, $500,000 a year, but they have a choice between very similar pay scale options, right? Not only do you need to make it so that they think they are confirmed in their belief that they want to come to you, but you also, at the very end of the day, and I think this is a trap that most PTs get caught into, is they're like, I need someone now, and I really don't care if they're not the most culture fit, or there's this red flag, but that's fine. Like I can't turn away all this business. Having the guts to be able to say, this isn't a fit. I'm sorry. I'm gonna have to do another 60-hour week for a few weeks while we find someone else is something that's like a next level business owner thing, right? That's like you've hired a few hundred, or if maybe not a hundred, but tens of people, and you've seen some crash and burn. And I can tell you on the other end of that, it is not worth the 3 or 4 weeks of like positive cash flow that you're going to get for hiring somebody with all the crap that they will bring on if you get a bad vibe. So if you haven't interviewed a bunch of people, that's okay. You've talked to people before. You know who like is good vibe, bad vibe. And if you get to a point where you're like, oh my God, I need this, but I also don't feel right about it, bail. Just do something
Totally.
else, right? And you more often than not, you're right with that.
It's
And you,
hard.
because you're relying on your instincts.
Well, and here's the reality situation, particularly for business owners. Like I remember, as an ownership group, we were like that PT I was telling you about. We were all like, I'm not really sure. And then the people who weren't paying were like, yeah, I mean, I think they'd be fine. And I was like, this is the difference, right? Like, one, you've got there's a reason you're the owner. You have the most experience. And two, when you kind of get an idea of certain people, you're like, all right, like I need to think very specifically. I've made all you have to do is make a bad hire. I made a bad hire one time and it had a ripple effect where I lost two other employees because of it. And I was like,
100%.
that's the disaster of what we're talking
There is
about.
a
So,
huge downside to a bad hire.
totally.
Which, not to put any pressure on anyone listening to this who's in like an interview process now, more to confirm the fact of like, if you don't think it's good, bail.
Yeah, 100%. And it's funny because I've even been able to trick myself just based off of necessity. Like, maybe this will be good, maybe this will be bad. And sometimes it's better to wait. Just wait and have that waiting list and just make sure that you're good to go, right? Like, I think that's a key piece of it. So,
All right, so then let's say the good vibes, they kind of you tell them about your culture, what you intend for their role. They say, cool, this is how I bring it. You're like, oh, okay, I like that candidate, right? Now you could do a lot of different things, right? If you're a multi-clinic site thing, what we would do is we'd have the director interview them, and we'd have the owner interview them, and they'd do a shadowing interview, and there'd be all these different processes because they'd have to deal with all those layers. If you're the only owner of the company, they'd really just have to interview with you. You don't need to make them do four different coffees with you, right? So that we got to the offer, right? Offer etiquette. Something I want to cover before we end this,
Oh,
because
I like it. Good call.
that's something where that's where it comes up, and it came up in our mentorship group of like, how long do I wait? We had one where a mill down the street was telling a new grad, hey, you have 24 hours to respond to this offer. And I mean, we're sitting there like, dude, they don't have anyone else. Like, there's no way. But you will get people who will put pressure tactics on, and it'll almost force you to like give an offer when you're not ready. So like, what are your thoughts around offers, timing, things that you want to make sure that you have information before sending the offer? You don't want to insult them, like all that stuff.
So to me, I think that it's just, offer negotiation is just part of the process, right? Like when I look at it, man, like I look at it as if I were in their shoes, would I ask for money? The answer is probably yes, right? I've also, if someone says, hey, like, is there any wiggle room for negotiation on the salary? I mean, of course there was wiggle room, but does that mean I can wiggle you down too? Yeah, totally. So like we basically have talked about that like in a group. I'll be like, listen, like, here's a salary, and other also understanding what competitors are kind of doing and what also works. Like we've had people take pay cuts to work for us like on a regular basis. We've had people negotiate us up or down. Like it just depends. It depends
Well, and the
on
delta is so small.
people. Yes,
New
that's the
grads be like, "Oh my
thing.
God, I got to pay it." But if you look at it, you're maybe talking about a $5,000 difference,
Exactly.
right?
No.
And I mean, and that what 300 after taxes, 3,000 after taxes? So I would pay $3,000 to not hate my
Yeah.
life,
The
you know?
hardest part about this profession is that there's not right now, there's nobody really making less than 80K, right? And then there's nobody making more than 120. And like I'm taking those numbers, by the way, and I'm
In a
probably being pretty
40-hour
broad.
week, in a
Yeah.
40-hour week, not doing overtime,
And in my immediate organization, I bet the gap's even tighter than that. So the reality of that is it's not one of those things where like, yeah, there's negotiation, but someone asked me for 150K, I'm like, relax, guy. Like that's not how this works.
you're not getting
You
that
know, because you're
anywhere,
not
yeah.
getting anywhere. So it's like it's one of those things where it's sad. I want our profession to be able to grow and build, but I also think that I'm also a big believer in that people can build things and can grow things, but also can work in great working environments where they're excited to work and they're excited to be in that place and they're able to show up every day. Like that's what matters, man. So like anyway, I think the process, that we're talking about from an offer negotiation, if you give somebody an offer, you're trying to put your best foot forward. It's sort of like it's funny, if you think about like buying a house, it's sort of the aspect of like or buying a car. It's like, what's the number you're willing to bid to lose the person? Right? So if somebody's like, well, I could do this and I could do that, and they're that perfect candidate. It's like, yeah, but if you're gonna ruin the person too, that's also not good, right?
Well,
So,
and we would always say, look, we're never going to start with our best offer to a candidate, and they're never going to start with their lowest salary request, to us. So we always knew everyone was starting a little bit higher the range, a little bit lower the range, depending on if you are the employee, you want more money, or the owner, where you want to spend less salary money per month, right? And I think that's important to go into these knowing that, like, someone's going to ask you for 150. Now that's a little bit high, but let's say they ask you for like 105 and you're really comfortable at like a 90, right? Know that you saying, "Hey, that's too high. I'm offering, 85," right? It's a spread, right? But you can kind of go into it. And I mean, that might even be more of a spread than you would think, but that would be maybe a situation where I say, look, dude, there's no freaking way I'm going over 100, or there's no way I'm going over 95 or whatever. And these are things that you're going to learn as you go. The nice part is you can always have a conversation with somebody. Everyone in PT knows that the margins aren't great. Like, we are not in tech. So you can have conversations where you say, look, today I can't do 100. But if you hit these benchmarks in 6 months, we'll up you by 5K, right? Or there are different ways of doing that. Now, we always recommend salary if you can. And we'll get into that in following kind of episodes, because that's where we don't want to get too much into the offer letter, more about like how do you first start that conversation. But well, let's just stop there, right? Because we could talk salary, pay per patient, rates, all that stuff in the next episode. So,
I was gonna say, but I believe that's next time, isn't it? If you're interested, that is the next time. So
look
we
at
will.
you with the
I know.
throw to the
I
next
know. I
episode.
know. I
Good.
know. I know. You like
Like,
that?
comment, subscribe,
I
smash that like button, brother.
know. Exactly. Follow us for more. Or if you're
Yeah, there
interested
you
in just
go.
learning it now, you can schedule a free call at physio-growth.com and you can learn how it works now.
If we're going to be influencers, which one's wearing the bikini is the question.
Listen, I'll do it.
Amen.
If we
You're the one
became
who
an
actually counts your
influencer, yeah,
macros. You actually count your macros. I eat like a 5-year-old. All
exactly.
right. We are out, my friend. Physio-growth.com. See ya.
See ya.